Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know Employee Cycle, we are the people dashboard for all of you HR and people leaders out there working at small and medium-sized companies. We know that when you're doing your reporting and you're trying to put together your HR analytics, it probably looks like you pulling messy spreadsheets from all your different HR systems, trying to combine them together to tell a data-driven story, but you're probably not as happy with the end result as you could be. Well, no fear. Because that's why we created Employee Cycle, your friendly people dashboard that has pre-built integration connectors to the most popular HR systems for your target market. That includes Bamboo HR, Namely, Zenefit, Sapling, 15.5, Office5, Reflective, Glassdoor, you name it. You can pull the data from all those different systems into Employee Cycle to view, track, share, and analyze all your people metrics from one centralized place. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome Gia Ganesh. She is the Director of People and Culture at Florence Healthcare. And today we're going to discuss how to scale culture as your company grows. Gia, welcome to the podcast. Gia, welcome!
Thank you so much, Bruce. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Thank you so much for taking time to be on the show. So, Gia, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
I think for me, it was something that I aspired to for a long time, but my career trajectory did not put me there directly. I took a roundabout way, and I finally landed up once I discovered that this was my passion. People, taking care of people, and employee well-being has been my passion for a long time. I worked a little bit in management consulting and project management and other areas before I finally decided to make the world of people my home, and I've been super happy ever since.
Awesome. And if you could tell us a little bit about Florence Healthcare, that would be great.
Awesome, yes. Florence Healthcare is a healthcare SaaS technology company. We are a startup. We do document management for clinical trials. So our mission is to advance clinical trials and cures. So especially during these times of COVID, when we are having this conversation, it's especially more, all the more important to realize the impact that a software like ours can make on the world of clinical trials in advancing trials for various aspects of healthcare forward. We are working with so many clients who are advancing trials for COVID forward as well at this point. So it's super gratifying to be part of a company that's making a difference at the end of the day.
Awesome. So today we're talking about how to scale culture as your company grows. And before we talk about scaling company culture, Gia, I would like to ask you, what does company culture mean to you?
Absolutely, Bruce. Culture is a loaded word, right? And it can mean different things to different people. The best way to describe culture, I think, is that it's the DNA of the company. It's the way everybody thinks, feels, and acts, if you will, and how we can get people to think of it in a similar fashion, I think, is what I would define as culture. To lots of people, there's been so much research done about culture and definitions written about culture. But to me, a simplified way that I view it is it's like a 3-4-legged stool which helps bring everybody in the company together. And what I mean by that, Bruce, is that, you know, when people have the same values, the same mission and purpose that they're working towards, and when they are able to look at a problem and make decisions in a similar fashion, I think that's where culture comes into play. I'll stop there and let you ask me further questions.
Sure. So one of the things that you mentioned was having a shared vision of the company's beliefs. But I'm always interested in knowing that if you ask each employee what is the culture of the company they work for, you're probably going to get a different answer. or maybe a slightly different answer from each employee. So I'm curious, if culture is about the shared beliefs of the collective workforce, is it okay if everyone views the culture to be different? Or is that really only for places like the mission and vision, where everybody has to believe that it's the exact, you know, very specific thing?
Great question, Bruce. I think you're right. Because the word culture means so many different things to different people, when you ask every employee in a company, the answers you get could be different, right? Some people would talk about stuff like, hey, we have a flexible work environment. We can wear what we want. We can work at different times. To other people, it could be something more along the lines of we receive great benefits. So it could mean different things. So the question that you ask, you know, the best way to answer the question that you ask is, it's fine to have employees define culture in different ways as long as you're still running towards the same mission and purpose. And as long as the way you behave and the way you make decisions is consistent among all the employees.
Got it. So are you currently hiring now?
Yes. Yes, Bruce, we are definitely hiring right now.
Okay. So this is relevant and timely. During your recruiting process, how are you going about communicating the culture, especially with remote work and a remote hiring experience?
The best way we are able to do that is by letting the candidates speak to as many people as we can possibly during the interview process, right? And we urge candidates to ask questions and ask same questions to everybody so they get a feel for everybody's views and understanding of things like culture, for example, right? Some of the questions that I commonly get when I interview people is, can you tell me the culture of the company? And the way I describe it could be a little bit different from maybe the VP or something that describes it. So that's one way we ensure that people are able to see what Florence is all about. And one thing that we are proud to say is that candidates are always pleasantly surprised to see that everybody has a very good experience and their understanding of culture from everybody seems to be pretty much along the same lines, not the same words, but along the same lines.
Got it. So we appreciate you talking about how you're communicating the culture to prospective candidates, but do you also think it's important to reiterate and communicate the culture to existing employees, or because they are part of the culture, that's not really necessary?
No, that's a great question, Bruce. I think it is definitely important to communicate existing culture to existing employees. And the way we do it is that we have an annual culture retreat where we go back and relook at, hey, is this working for us? Is the culture that we define, is that still hold true today? You know, we relook at our values on a yearly basis and make sure we are aligned to it and it aligns to where we are headed as a company and to our mission as well. So that's a great way for us to reiterate our culture to the current employees, along with other activities and things that we do during the course of the year that helps in reinforcing that as well.
So one of the things that's been going around in regards to company culture over the past few years is that companies should stop looking for culture fit, but look for culture ad. In the sense that if you look for culture fit, you're only going to get more of the same, which potentially could create a biased hiring process and potentially discriminate against people who do not look, act, talk like the existing culture. Whereas a lot of people are saying that companies should move towards a culture ad model where people are adding to the culture. But when I hear that, it sounds like the new candidates or the new employees will then change the culture, making it very fluid and ever-changing versus the culture being the same over time. So how do you believe both of those, or how do you manage culture fit versus culture ad?
That's a great question again, Bruce. I think I believe in both, and I know that's not the right way to answer the question. My thinking is that diversity in thought always enhances employee experience for everybody. You know, when we bring a new candidate on to the company, it's not about just coming and being the exact replica of everybody else, right? We hire people, we claim that we want to bring diversity of thought, so we have to act towards it as well. And we are big on that. We believe everybody has something new to offer. What are the great things that they have learned in their professional experiences that we can learn and grow with them on, right? So from that perspective, I believe culture ad is an important thing to consider and think that, hey, people that we bring in have diverse life experiences that we can leverage and learn from. In terms of the culture fit aspect, the way I look at culture fit is that are these people that we bring in able to live up to our values and share some of our existing cultural aspects? So, for example, I believe Florence has a huge culture of appreciation for our colleagues, right? We are big on giving kudos to each other and appreciating each other for the input and the value that we provide during our daily work. So when I'm talking to a candidate, I'm trying to ascertain if there is a sense of appreciation for their colleagues, or are people or the candidate, are they more focused on their individual agenda and putting themselves in the limelight, for example, right? We believe in having a team spirit. It's a we culture. It's not an I culture, right? So that's what I mean when I'm looking for a culture fit. Those are some aspects I'm looking for, but I'm always looking for a culture and from a candidate to see what new diverse experiences we can add and learn from by bringing this candidate on.
Got it. Thanks for that comprehensive answer. And so when it comes to the topic, which is scaling culture as your company grows, what does that look like?
That is a hard one, right, Bruce, because as the company grows, we want to keep some of the aspects of culture that are working for us intact. We don't want to lose that, but we also don't want to be so restrictive in our view that we don't want to enhance our culture, going back to the previous question about culture fit versus culture ad, right? So the way that we do that, the way we are trying to scale culture is by having a very strong candidate experience during the hiring process. So every hire we bring in, we are very picky in our hiring because we want to make sure that every hire we bring in has a culture fit and a culture ad aspect to their candidacy, right? And the next aspect of scaling culture is to make sure that once we hire this person, we have a great onboarding experience for them as well. That first 90 days, we have a 90-day onboarding cycle. That first 90 days is critical for both the company and the employee to make sure that they are well integrated into the company. Once we have that foundational element in place, then culture scaling becomes easier. What do you mean by scaling culture? It's to make sure that what is working well for us continues to work well for us. And with the growth of every company, it's easy to lose these aspects of culture because culture doesn't disintegrate like a bomb. You know, it's not just gone one day, but it integrates bit by bit, right? So being very careful and paying a lot of attention to what are these little pieces of culture that make us unique and how can we continue to move forward with that is important. You know, having constant employee engagement conversations and employee engagement surveys is also a big part of the way we are checking in with employees about what is working well for us. We do something called a plus delta meeting every quarter where we're checking with employees and asking them to speak freely and openly about one great thing that's working for us as a company and one thing that we can improve upon. And we take all that input and act upon it and go back to employees and tell them how we are acting upon these suggestions from them as well. So all these are ways we can put some measures in place to ensure this bit by bit culture disintegration does not happen. And as we bring in new candidates who fit well into our culture, we can ensure that our culture only continues to grow and it doesn't disappear once we have rapid growth. So it's very important that the recruiting team and the hiring team bring the right candidates on board.
When you're thinking about scaling your culture, and as you were just discussing different areas of the culture potentially changing, but still wanting to hold on to the good parts of the culture, what do you think are the biggest factors that are really changing the culture? Is it diversifying the backgrounds of your employees? Do you believe that it's bringing in people with different mission or beliefs? Or one of the things that I was thinking about as you were talking is perhaps as your company grows, you're hiring in different departments and roles more than others. And so stereotypically speaking, if you became a sales culture type company, then maybe it's very high energy, go, 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 you know, outgoing personality. But then if it shifted back to more of an engineering culture, then again, stereotypically, maybe it became more of an introverted type of culture. Where do you see those factors playing into potentially changing your culture as you look to scale your company?
Let me think about you. You said a few things there. Let me think about what you were asking. So can you repeat the question like in one sentence?
Yeah. What do you think are the biggest factors when it comes to people that will potentially change your culture?
Ah, great. So I think there are several ways to look at this. There are factors from a company perspective. There are factors from the industry perspective. There are factors from a department perspective, and there are factors from an individual perspective. I'm not going to get into everything here, but let me give you an example. There are, for example, when I say from a company perspective, what could contribute to scaling the culture or disintegrating the culture? Aspects like transparency from the leadership team, for example, are very important in and they play a it plays a very important role in the culture of the company. When the leadership team is very transparent with employees, there's a level of trust that employees feel, and that again enhances the cultural experience. So that is a factor, for example, from a company perspective that could influence how the culture can scale or not scale. From a department perspective, you know, you mentioned how sometimes an engineering department or a sales department focused kind of company can change the energy of the company because it's moving towards a sales culture or an engineering culture, for example. So from a department perspective, there are aspects that can change the culture as well. So how do we ensure that a particular department doesn't change the culture of the company if it should not, right? So those are things to keep in mind. Again, a lot of these issues come down to communication at the end of the day. If we are able to have open communication with department heads and employees about changes that we are seeing and talk to them about the impact that it's having on the organization, positive or negative, and take the necessary steps, it becomes a much easier path forward, you know. But in order to have these kind of difficult conversations, the basic element of trust needs to be there. And that's, I think, something that needs to be worked on from day one. And it's something that everybody in the company needs to work towards.
And to end this interview, I would love for you to share any final words or thoughts to any of the people who will be listening to this that are trying to work on scaling their culture, but still keeping their company true to what they believe in?
I think the only last thing I will add here, Bruce, is that culture is built one employee at a time. So it's not too late to think about culture, even if you are a one-person company. A lot of startups make the mistake of not thinking about culture until they get to a certain size. But I think that could be detrimental. Culture is something that needs to be focused on from day one, from your first hire. So every hire that you bring in is important, and it's important to think about culture fit and culture add aspects as you bring on this hire to your company. I'll stop with that, Bruce.
Gia, thanks so much for being such an awesome podcast guest and for really providing a lot of insight and wisdom around scaling your company, scaling your culture as your company grows. So thanks so much for being on the show. Gia! Woo! Thank you. So where can people find you and Florence Healthcare online?
We are at www.florencehc.com. And I'm on LinkedIn or on my company website, Gia Ganesh. Feel free to connect with me.
Awesome. And we'll definitely include all that contact info in the show notes. So for everyone who enjoyed this episode as much as Gia and I did making it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, if this is your very first time coming to listen to the Employee Cycle Podcast, and you came here because you're either already a huge super fan of Gia and you just had to hear what she was going to say on the show, or you thought that this topic was compelling, but now you're hungry for more episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.